So we're back, and well, you know, we talked a lot about now the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it was a trudge to get through all of the, is that a word, trudge?
Trudge.
Trudge.
Well, trod is to what? So you kind of mix
two words.
To trod and to trudge, so, which are similar words.
So when we fell into sin as humans, there was a brokenness that went deep within mm-hmm. our brains, our sexual appetites, and in some ways you can even see the chemical release. And you see children who are just kind of children, and then they go through adolescence, and they'll often say, like, "What happened to that person?" Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden the chemical thing. Now, it's awfully beautiful, too, because they're trying to figure things out, and they get married, there's grandchildren, and, you know, there's all that,
right.
Part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is clearly the role of Jesus Christ to right the ship, and the role of ministers to proclaim the good news that Jesus will take you where you're at, and there is a sanctification process even in those areas of your life. So let's get into being renewed.
All right. When a person becomes a believer, he or she is now born again into a redemptive relationship with Jesus Christ. The past sins and sinful struggles are covered. They have a way to stand in confidence with God and become renewed in the image of their Creator. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator.
The first thing is interesting about when you become a believer, you actually become aware that you need a Savior. Or maybe you became aware you need a Savior, but then when you are saved, there's a new gratitude that, mm-hmm. and it does affect everything that you do. And you know in your new spiritual DNA of renewal that the image of a Creator is now starting to work itself out in you. But you also become aware, I've noticed, that there is a lot of stuff in your life that might still be filled with bitterness, that still might be hurt, that might be injured. Mm-hmm. But you have a different attitude about all of that. Instead of like getting so bitter about it that you can't forgive your neighbor, all of a sudden you can begin forgiving. All of these things start changing,
yes.
And it applies to the area of sexuality as well.
Right. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy 5:6, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she is still living.
So, when you become a new creation, there is an internal change that occurs to you, and it really comes down to who is your God.
Right.
You see, when the Apostle Paul especially talks about sexual immorality that you flee from, but connects it very much to an idol, like, because the power of pleasure is so powerful that you can worship that and take your eyes off of Christ Jesus. So,
right.
You know, as people are growing through the renewal process, it really becomes very spiritual. Here's where mm-hmm. ministers come in. There is a spiritual
yeah.
transformation
yes.
that
Beautiful.
Occurs.
Mm-hmm. Be honest about sexual struggle. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
What's fascinating about that is, again, it's spiritual. One of the core things ministers do is we lead prayer. We help people lead prayer. One of the prayers that we teach and model and believe mm-hmm. is prayers of confession. In
yes.
fact, for centuries, the Catholic Church has actually a confessional booth. So the power of transparency brings healing power. The therapist and, you know, the social sciences, in a sense, they've created a confessional booth, a confidential confessional booth with a therapist. And through that confessional booth, people find just by talking about it, they become healed. But what therapists don't have and sex therapists don't have is the God that you can actually be transparent about your struggles, share them with the Lord. James it says to go to the elders, confess your sins to one another that you will be healed. In a sense, the church, Christianity, ministers, we have a healing healing lifestyle of confession and prayer. We don't have to pretend that we're what we're not.
Right.
We are being transformed and ministry in this area. We're a new creation, and that is coming to each of us in Christ.
Right. So embark on a path of sanctification. Wherever you've been, start on a sanctification path as you go forward in Christ. So as Colossians 3 verses 5 through 8 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these.
What I love about that is we have the ability to keep our sexual fallen sexual appetites from harming others and ourselves.
Right.
And embark on a path of sanctification. So let's do a little theological. In some ways, this is a theological presentation. So let's review our theology. We believe that when someone becomes born again, their sins are completely covered.
Right.
Okay? And your sins and my sins and the people we minister to, their sins are completely covered by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that covers even the sins of their sexual past. It even covers... It gives them a cover, so as they are in the process of sanctification and confess their sins, they know that with confidence they can go to the tree of life and partake of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But then Paul brings in the sanctification journey. He says, okay, so you've been sanctified. Now, at this point, you're living a life of gratitude, and you're asking the Holy Spirit now to help you in all of your life to rid yourself of those sins, those things that hurt you, that really take away from God's design of your sexual. So it becomes a sanctification journey. What happens so often in Christianity is there's confusion between the justification journey, you're saved, the blood of Jesus completely cleanses you, and now you're on the sanctification journey that you rid yourself. You used to be dead like this, but now you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
So now stay away from idolatry. Move in a direction that pleases the Lord. We see the same thing in Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 6.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and sealed us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
So we see it is by grace you have been saved, and we see to rid yourself, you once were dead, now you're alive. So we see in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about it like, yes, the good I want to do, this I don't do, yet it's the... who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. So there's that sense where we're all in this together, the fall, but we're all in this together as believers in what Jesus Christ has done. And now we're all in this together to create a sanctification journey. Now I go to marriage. Marriage is a beautiful place for the sanctification journey to place in your life the boundaries that keep you on that path of ridding your life of those things that hold you down. You know, in ministry, you know, one of the things that we have done in ministry is we'll minister together. And if you, I will not meet with a woman alone in ministry.
Right.
And, you know, and I think as we open up more opportunities for, like, couples, ministers, mm-hmm. and all of those things, because we have been saved by grace, we are ridding ourselves of the old, and we don't want the old, so we want to put more and more boundaries in our life that keep us out of those places to fall or hurt others.
Right. Well, and Hebrews talks about it, too, with the throw off the sin which so easily entangles and,
yes.
You know,
yes.
So you can run the race.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then we put sanctification boundaries in place.
Yes. If married, serve each other to meet each other's sexual appetites. This is an adventuresome journey of physical, spiritual, and emotional oneness. Sometimes it is more about what you want or obey than how you may feel.
In
1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 says, "Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control."
Now, we're going to get into the 1 Corinthians passage, the first five verses, 1 Corinthians 7, in detail. So we won't get too much into it now. But what I like is this concept, like, look, theologically, now as believers, let's clothe ourselves with boundaries. Let's be in a marriage that which is sex positive. It's what we want and how we obey, because to just become oriented around feeling is something that can just kind of take that boundary. And we have seen in ministry, I'm beating around the bush here. We have seen in ministry this is hurts so many marriages. Where if you're married and you feel unloved, we were just conversing with someone who she did not receive sexual gratification from her husband for years.
Right.
You know, and she has a lot of hurt. But we also, just another person we're ministering to, he has not received sexual gratification for years. And their marriage is ending in divorce. But again, there's that boundary.
Right.
You know, that boundary to say two broken people on a road of sanctification, and part of that is to keep each other in a great place.
Right. Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about in a later presentation. Mm-hmm. So finally, as ministers, there's a theological piece. And this particular presentation was very theological. As ministers, we often will read the instances of the Bible, but we also come to a place, and this is an important place to be, to understand that the gospel is not a works righteousness gospel. Our sins are forgiven, and thanks be to God, in the area of our sexual brokenness, mm-hmm. we are covered. Now, next is a sanctification journey. So now it's like, how do we rid ourselves, and how do we encourage one another right. to rid ourselves of those things that hold us back? Mm-hmm. And not to confuse the two, because someone may be broken in some areas, and it's going to be a long process of sanctification. So, we've observed people at times can be healed instantly of something. And then we've seen people, that healing takes a while, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But know that as ministers, we don't know how God is going to heal, but we know He saves and He redeems.
Yes.